Live from New York, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Damon Amendolara on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Quicken Loan Studios, national mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Always a thrill to fill in for Jim. TA usually can catch me preceding Jim on many of these same CBS Sports Radio stations. We are simulcast in sparkling HD today from our New York City studios on the CBS Sports Network. Coming up this hour, Mike Tyson versus 86-year-old Don King. Would he deserve it? Plus, Ovechkin of the Capitals get to celebrate a Stanley Cup. We shall ask the question and try to estimate how many beers Ovi has had today. I always want to hear from you and the clones out there on the topics that we've been talking about or anything else. We've been talking a lot about the Warriors offseason. As Bob Myers, the Golden State general manager, has said, we will give KD whatever he wants. And we just had BJ Armstrong on, who represents Draymond Green and would not commit to Draymond taking less this time around when he would be up for a max deal in two seasons. Now, that's a way is a way, but already people are wondering, can the Warriors keep this thing together? Look, they have shown something which is pretty remarkable. They have shown the ability to put ego aside at least slightly to take less money than they could make of the open market. And it feels like they all prioritize winning over everything. So Kevin Durant has taken less to go to Golden State. Draymond Green took less to get Kevin Durant. Klay Thompson has openly talked about how much fun he is having. And so if they all want to take lesser money, if they all want to prioritize winning, this thing can be around for a long time. Now, they say this now, but there's always what Pat Riley discusses as the disease of me. When you win, and when you win championships, you get book deals and attention. You're invited to clubs. You get endorsements, and suddenly you start believing that you really are way more important than maybe you are, and that takes you away from the focus, which is winning. And who knows? I mean, Bob Myers today is lathering it on real thick. I mean, 90s rom-com thick. Like Matthew McConaughey, Hugh Grant, Jennifer Lopez, heavy, heavy rom-com. We want him to be happy. We want him to know we love him. We will give Kevin anything that he wants. I mean, the quote, whatever he wants, doesn't usually come out of many professional general managers' mouths. Quote, whatever he wants. I don't think I've ever heard any GM ever say that. I mean, Bob Myers said, quote, sometimes you don't negotiate. He did us a great service. I mean, as though this was a charity donation. It was so nice that Kevin contributed to our soup kitchen and our canned drive. We were just so happy he decided to contribute to us. He did us a great service, as though they didn't pay him. Myers saying, quote, I want him to be happy. I want him to know that we want him as long as he wants to be here. I mean, whoa, I love the Bay Area, but that is even really lovey-dovey for me. We want you to know we love you. It's like a Barney episode has broken out inside the Warriors front office. And so that leaves us only with somebody else developing some type of weapon to take them down. And that, of course, brings us to LeBron James. Personally, it feels to me like the Lakers become more and more realistic by the day. Not only do they have the two easily fillable spots for max contracts like him and Paul George, they also have young, controllable contracts with young players. And there's the backdrop of L.A. Let's face it, that situation's not nearly as enticing to LeBron James if it's Salt Lake City or Indianapolis. It just isn't. L.A. as a backdrop means movies and music and his business and his empire and all of that. And a really nice lifestyle of living in Malibu or somewhere near the beach or the Hollywood Hills and being able to rub elbows with all the pretty people. And LeBron is a pretty person. LeBron's as famous as any of those people, as rich as any of those people. And I'm sure he doesn't hate mingling with those people. But Boston remains out there, and this is really fascinating because Boston has been the one yin to his yang over the course of his 15 years of the NBA. Early on, it was, can the Cavaliers get past the Pistons, because the Pistons were the barometer, the standard of the Eastern Conference for a number of years. How many years in a row did they make the Eastern Conference Finals? Going to a pair of NBA Finals, winning an NBA Finals. But ultimately, when you think about the battles LeBron has had, LeBron against Boston has come up two different times. The Big Three era of Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen and Paul Pierce, losing ultimately to them and leaving town in Cleveland the first time around, then battling them when he was a member of the Miami Heat and finally getting over the hump and beating them and winning championships. Now this time around, facing off against them in back-to-back Eastern Conference Finals, you do wonder, especially now with Kyrie Irving there, would LeBron, after all these years of battling the Celtics, go to the Celtics? I mean, it's impossible to be blind to what Kevin Durant dealt with. Oh, you guys hated one another, OKC and Golden State, and then suddenly you jump on board? Nice. I mean, LeBron would be blind not to realize that would be part of the narrative. Oh, you realize suddenly the Celtics were going to be better than you, and so you jumped aboard. And we kind of hate you in Boston. We've taken pride in hating you. And hell, I've even heard Celtics fans say, we don't want him. Dude, we don't need LeBron. He's a whiner. To which I would say, no, you'll take him. No, you'll definitely take him. Because if LeBron James is added to the Boston Celtics, they become Golden State Light. I mean, you want a deafening demolition derby on a nightly basis? Put LeBron James and Kyrie Irving alongside Gordon Hayward, if LeBron and Kyrie can play nice, alongside Gordon Hayward, alongside Jaylen Brown, alongside Jason Tatum, with the head coach of Brad Stevens, and LeBron not going anywhere else in the Eastern Conference, yeah, you'll see some finals, and you'll hang some banners. We don't need him. He's not a team player, dude. Look, you'd love to have LeBron. He's not a leader. I actually heard this over the weekend. Two young Celtics fans hanging out in a coffee shop. I was getting myself some breakfast, and I heard them, yeah, LeBron's never been a leader. Never been a leader. Never been a leader. Did you just see what he did with this cast of goons getting them to the NBA Finals? Did you see him in 2007 being the only legitimate piece of a puzzle that went for 22 points in the fourth quarter and single-handedly dragged his team to the NBA Finals when his second-best player probably was Boobie Gibson? He's never been a leader. No, he has been a leader a lot of times. Did you see him in a Game 7 of the NBA Finals clinch a championship with 37 and a triple-double? Oh, you'll take him, and you'll love him. And you'll quickly swoon over him. But he ain't going there. He ain't going there because it goes against all of these things that LeBron knows has been built into his legacy. You battled the Celtics for all of these years, and now you're going to join them? No, not going to happen. And I just don't think him with Kyrie is repairable right now. And when I hear Kyrie Irving speak, I kind of get the feeling he thinks he's way smarter than he is. Look, Kyrie Irving attended Duke for a semester. And I think Kyrie Irving thinks he's got a Duke education. But man, you were on campus for like 4 months. When I hear him talking about the world is flat, there is part of me that believes he's getting one over on everybody else. Man, I got people talking about me. I got people talking about what they may know or what they may not know. And I'm just throwing out there that I don't think you actually know what you think you know. He told the New York Times, this is why research and why history has shown that even having opposing sides, I mean, history has shown even back then, our biggest scholars did think the earth was flat. It just didn't spark out of anywhere. He then goes into our educational system is flawed, clearly. He then tries to cite Nikola Tesla. Oh, great. He then says, can you openly admit that you know the earth is constitutionally round? Like, I don't know. Like, you know for sure? I was never trying to convince anyone that the world is flat. I'm not being an advocate for the world being completely flat. I don't know. I really don't. It's fun to think about. It's fun to have that conversation. It's fun for me. It's just science. Can you believe anything else? Okay, cool. Well, explain to me. Give me what you've known about the earth in your research, and I love it. I love talking about it. Hey, man, I believe the earth is flat. Scientists, engineers, utilizing exploitation tactics of utilizing my name, who I am, suddenly turning it into a bigger thing, which is fine. That's the way society works. Blah, 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 blah. You know what Kyrie Irving reminds me of when he tries to defend this theory? Damon Wayans' character in In Living Color that played the jailbird that was on the Getting Convicts to Read program. Reading books doesn't mean you understand what you're reading.
Oh, yes. A world of nocturnal commissions. And open my mucous membrane.
Kyrie Irving is Damon Wayans' character. Yeah, just because your eyes are scanning over words doesn't mean you're utilizing any of these things correctly, nor do you know what you're talking about. Everything about Kyrie's conversations about this is trying to distort how he thinks other people think about him. And so if I'm LeBron James, or I am somebody within the Celtics organization, and he's already started to tiptoe around whether he wants to be in Boston, I think it's kind of impossible to get through to him because he thinks he's Duke educated, and he's not. It's like if you spent a summer camp at Duke. You started going, yeah, I'm Duke educated. Well, how long did you spend there? June? Nope. Mm-mm. Sorry. Kyrie definitely thinks he's smarter than he is. And LeBron's probably going, look, I tried to get him to sign. I tried to get him to remain. I wanted to run with him one last time. But he kept talking to me about the solar system and society's perception and whether or not this is all some type of simulation. And I just couldn't get really past that.
And open my mucous membrane.
Yeah. No, that doesn't mean anything, Kyrie. Sorry. Can you please streamline or focus your thoughts on this? It would help us all out. When we come back here on the show, Mike Tyson, Don King had a run-in over the weekend. Tyson threw some water on Don King. We will hear Tyson explain why and ask the question, did Don King deserve more? D.A. Damon Amendolar, in for Jim today here on CBS Sports Radio and simulcast the CBS Sports Network. Men, if you're ready to reduce the gray in your hair, go with the smartest product available, Experience Control GX from Just for Men, the first shampoo of the brain. What makes it so smart? It reduces gray the same way it grows in, gradually. The more you shampoo with Control GX, the less gray that you have. Just use it until you like what you see. How smart is that? Smart enough to be voted men's hair care product of the year. Gradually reduce gray with the first shampoo of the brain. Find Control GX in the shave aisle.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Make the right game plan for you. Farmers Insurance is practical insurance knowledge gained from more than 89 years of experience. Find an agent at farmers.com. Thanks for being with us. Damon Amendolara, DA, with you in for Jim Rome today. Usually you can catch me before Jim on many of these same CBS Sports radio stations. As always, The Rome Show is simulcast on the CBS Sports Network. A lot of you guys reminding me on Twitter that Damon Wayans' character in In Living Color, the jailbird that was hooked on the convict and reading program, was named Oswald Bates. Every time I hear Kyrie Irving try to explain his flat earth theory, and he recently did so again in the New York Times, every time he tries to do it, he reminds me of Oswald Bates.
We must internalize the flatulation of the matter by transmitting the effervescence of the Indonesian proximity in order to further segregate the crux of my venereal infection.
Those are all words, Kyrie, but they don't string together and make any sense when you say them. Speaking of a perfect linguist, a poet of our era, Mike Tyson. Over the weekend, Mike Tyson and Don King were both at the Boxing Hall of Fame in upstate New York. Now, as you probably know by now, Don King robbed Mike Tyson blind over the years. When he was promoting Mike, he was taking a lot of money that Mike had no idea about. And Tyson has admitted that that was one of the most dysfunctional relationships he's ever had in his life, leading to not trusting many people, spiraling out of control, and his life going on hairpin turns for decades. Mike Tyson sued Don King for $100 million not long ago, claiming that that was just a fraction of what Don King siphoned off from himself, for himself, that Mike never touched, nor sniffed, nor knew that he had earned. So, over the Hall of Fame induction over this weekend in Canastota, New York, Don King approached Mike Tyson, trying to give him a playful tap on the shoulder, maybe assuming that Mike Tyson, his former client, was cool after all of these years. Did it go so well? Now, Mike Tyson had a couple of options at this point in time. Number one, he could slug him in the face, drop him cold hard right there on the mat. Number two, could be cheery, gracious, mature. Or number three, somewhere in between, show that he's upset, but not knock out an 86-year-old man. And so he took lane three, which was throwing water at Don King. Tyson explained the incident.
That was me being immature. I shouldn't have done that.
No, you get it. He robbed us. They robbed us.
Yeah, I shouldn't have done that. But, you know, he touched me. He tapped me on the shoulder. And that is... It's just, he talked on there like he was my friend, never just bull crap. You know, he's just, I shouldn't have did that because I just got to get rid of my business. I let all that go.
Mike,
today is the day I let it all go.
Mike, it's lucky that's all that you did was throw a glass of water at him. I don't know. I mean, come on.
Yeah, he really did me in.
I mean, you've got reporters saying, Mike, it could have been way worse. Mike is apologizing. Yeah, I was immature. I shouldn't have done that. Should let bygones be bygones. They're like, Don King robbed you blind, man. It's okay. When did you ever think you'd see Mike Tyson as the voice of reason? And other people, supposedly unbiased media, going, no, Mike, you could be way worse than that. You could be way worse than that. Don't worry. It begs this question. Knowing that Don King is definitely sleazy, knowing that Don King has definitely squeezed money out of Mike, knowing that Don King was one of the guys that did Mike dirty and robbed money from him, allegedly, knowing all the things you know about Don King, but also knowing that he's 86 years old, did Mike Tyson have a right to drop him right there? Like, what is the age where that's not okay anymore? I think at 86, you're probably past that line in the sand. 76, you're right at that cusp. You can still defend yourself at 76. 86 against Mike, probably not. So, all right, fine. I'll give him a pass. Mike, I don't think you should have dropped Don King right there at the Boxing Induction Hall of Fame. However, would anybody have blamed him? Honestly, would you have come out and said Mike did wrong by beating up an old man? I mean, Pedro Martinez once took Don Zimmer's head and threw him down like a Russian nesting egg. He just threw him right to the ground. Don Zimmer was like 186 at that point in time. All right, 10 years ago, 76 years old, would you be cool if Mike Tyson dropped Don King at the Hall of Fame? By the way, Don King has some serious cojones going up to Mike like everything's cool. Man, you guys had a settlement out of court for millions of dollars because you robbed Mike Tyson, and he has talked openly about it. Mike had to go into bankruptcy. I'm not saying Mike Tyson was great with his money. This is certainly not a guy that stuffed away pennies in a coffee can underneath his bed. But we all know the type of sleazy guy Don King is. I don't know. I couldn't blame Mike Tyson if Mike at that point said, you know what? Not today, old man. Not today. I mean, imagine somebody stole $100 million. Not $100. Not $1,000. Not $1 million. Not $100,000. $100 million is what Mike Tyson claimed Don King stole from him while promoting him. And then the whole legal ramifications when he was in jail. 76 years old? 66? Definitely. If this is 20 years ago, definitely you make that case. All right, 86, I'll go easy. 66, no way. I think that age is 75. I think 75 is the cutoff. You can't beat up somebody older than 75, even if it's Don King, and he robbed you blind. But 74 and a half, birthday's coming up next month. It's go time. 855-212-4CBS. That's your phone number. Weigh in, 855-212-4227. Also, hit me up on Twitter, DA on CBS. I want to jump into your Twitter mentions today. A lot of funny ones. Also, I think Ovechkin's still drinking. I'm not sure. No, wait. Yeah, he is. How many beers has Ovi had today during the parade? It's coming up next. DA in for Jim today here on CBS Sports Radio. Simulcast the CBS Sports Network.
Live from New York, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Damon Amendolara on CBS Sports Radio.
And to your contractor, builder, or remodeler, listen up because Lumber Liquidators is about to make your job a whole lot easier. LL Pro Plus is Lumber Liquidators' new pro services team that gives you, the pro, exclusive deals and services for all of your professional flooring needs. So put the flooring experts on your team today. Visit your local Lumber Liquidator store or go to lumberliquidators.com/prosales. That's lumberliquidators.com/prosales. Thanks for being with us. It's been such a fun Tuesday. As I always talk about, this is a total thrill whenever I get to fill in for Jim's show. Jim is a Hall of Famer. Jim has been kind enough to give me words of support over the years and join me on my show last week. And I openly discussed with him his Hall of Fame career and the imprint he has made in this industry. And if you want to check out that interview, I thought it was really enlightening about his road of building this. And this is what I always say. I know how hard it is to come on the air every single day and not show off your human side of having a bad day, totally stressed, under the weather, tired, something's going wrong at work, and to be unflappable. That's Jim. Unflappable. I've been listening to his show for the better part of 20 years. I've never heard him trip over a word. I haven't ever heard him have a bad day. There hasn't been a bad segment. I don't know how that's even humanly possible. It takes all of my focus and all of my might to get through one segment without tripping over my words or delivering an or an ah. How about some of the sports talk guys out there that can't stop saying like, ah, well? Jim hasn't used any of those words ever. I haven't heard him say in 20 years. He is a Hall of Famer. And he should be in. He's got to get in. And as Tabitha Soren and Kurt Loder told me once upon a time, rock the vote. So, radiovote.com, go and cast the vote. Dial short code 96000. Text the message 800. And like a good old-fashioned Chicago election, vote early and vote often. Speaking of elections, in D.C. today, there was something to celebrate. The Stanley Cup Parade for the Washington Capitals. How cool is this story? I think the Capitals are America's team, and I'll tell you why. We can all relate to this. Nobody ever roots for all of the good teams. I mean, Boston's had a pretty good run at this recently, but inevitably you've got one team in there, maybe all of your teams, that stink, that are cursed, that never get over the hump, that never win anything. That's the punchline, the laughingstock, and you feel stupid rooting for them sometimes. Like, why am I doing this to myself? There is at least one team or school you root for that is an abusive relationship for you. You put more into it than they give you. Well, the Capitals have been that forever for Caps fans. Big dreams, big talent, big celebrations. Ready, set, oh, we choked again. How do you know it's spring in D.C.? Cherry blossoms and the Caps gagging. Not this year. They're America's team because there is a team or a school you root for that has done that to you too many times. Screwed you over, gagged a lead, choked in the playoffs, never won the big one. Caps did it. The Eagles did it. The Astros did it. The Cavs did it. The Cubs did it. This is a golden age of chokers becoming winners. So, DC, go crazy. Have fun. Enjoy this. It may never happen again, but more importantly, it'll never feel like this again. Any Red Sox fan will tell you 2004 was completely different than anything else they'll ever win. They won in 07, they won in 13. Nothing will ever be like 04. Cubs fans, it'll never be like it was 2 years ago. That is it. You can die happy at that moment. Cavs fans, 2 years ago, it'll never feel like that ever again. Astros fans, it'll never feel like this ever again. So if you're a Caps fan out there, if you're just a fan of sports in D.C., it's been a lot of misery, a lot of slog, a lot of pukey on your shoesies. Enjoy it. And that's what Alexander Ovechkin is doing. Enjoying every last second and every last drop of beer. Remember when you were in college and you couldn't afford to throw out beer? What are you doing, man? There's like two sips left. Drink it. Huh? It's warm. It's been sitting out overnight. Drink it. We can't afford anything else. Remember those days? Somebody buys you a beer. It's not what you were drinking. You sip and you're like, oh. But you can't leave a sip. Somebody bought me a beer. I got to finish this. It's free beer. That's what Alexander Ovechkin's doing right now, except he's a millionaire. He hasn't let any beer go to waste since they won. This is a man who has, after 100 years, the Stanley Cup's been in a lot of weird situations. I mean, people have done everything they can with the Stanley Cup. He has figured out a way to make it a beer keg stand. He's doing keg stands out of it. His teammates are picking up his ankles as he's bobbing for apples, but instead of bobbing for apples, he's gulping beer. This is a superstar. This is a Hall of Famer. Could you imagine Peyton Manning or Tom Brady doing something like this? Could you imagine LeBron James or Steph Curry doing something like this? Can you imagine J.R. No, J.R. Smith definitely did this. But our superstars don't do this. This is epic. This is a bender. And I don't know if it's that Russian blood or not, but he hasn't not been drunk for about a week. I saw a video of him this morning at 10 a.m. before, in the locker room, before the parade began. Pounding a beer. Pounding a can of beer. He's not drinking coffee in the morning this week. He's just drinking beer. I once had a buddy in college where we would have an all-night rager. It'd be epic. There'd be half-drank beers on one table, half a bottle of tequila on the other, shot glasses all over the place, and he would wake up, dust off his eyes, run his fingers through his hair, and pick up one of the wounded soldiers, if you will, one of those half-drank beers, and just drink the rest just to keep the party going. I'm like, that's breakfast? Yeah, man, when do you want to start again? Whoa. That's Ovechkin. And yet Ovechkin is one of the greatest hockey players ever. I mean, ever. You want to know how you win fans? Act like them. Alexander Ovechkin is being his best self, and he's doing everything that we would do. And oh, by the way, look, I like my craft beers. I really like beer. But Ovechkin's not fooling around with any IPAs. There ain't no sours in there. There's no stouts or porters. There's no notes of mahogany. There's no barrel-aged. He's just drinking straight light beer out of cans and the cup. That's it. I love this. I mean, I feel like if you put in front of him like a $23 bottle of this great craft beer, he'd slap it out of your hands, curse at you in Russian, and chug another Miller Lite. I love this. You want to win fans for life? Be like them. And that's exactly what he's doing. So Ovechkin is on a Wade Boggs-esque run here. Because the stories are that Boggs was immortal when it came to drinking beers. Former Yankees relief pitcher Jeff Nelson said that Wade Boggs would consistently drink 50 or 60 beers on a cross-country flight. Could you imagine? Yanks are in Oakland this week. There's Wade Boggs with three cases down. 50 or 60 beers. He said that the tally would begin in the locker room, carry over on the drive to the airport, the tarmac, layovers, and any other chance the team got as they were making their way from coast to coast. Nelson said it was not an isolated incident. He did it almost every time. Kids, don't drink 50 or 60 beers. What? Wade Boggs, 50 or 60 beers? Well, it doesn't stop there. There was one story that Wade Boggs once drank 64 beers in a day. 64 beers in a day. Boggs was asked whether or not this was true or not. He would not confirm. He was then on the set of It's Always Sunny, and they asked him about this story. He said, honestly, it wasn't 64. Oh, thank God. How much was it? 40? 30? He said, 107. 107? He said, 107. He said he once drank 107 beers in a day. 107 beers in a day. I don't know where you could buy 107 beers. Usually they stop you at like four cases. 107 beers in a day? You know, and Boggs doesn't look like Bartolo Colon. I saw that documentary on Andre the Giant. Even it took him and Ric Flair to get up to that level. And it was like Andre the Giant 60, Ric Flair 40. Boggs is doing 107 solo? If that's true, if Wade Boggs drank 107 beers solo, he's the greatest athlete that ever lived. And think about it. He's already a Cooperstown inductee. He's already a Baseball Hall of Famer. And he somehow survived, had a liver of cement, had a liver of titanium, where he could digest 107 beers? Wade Boggs, if that's true, is better than Michael Jordan, is better than LeBron James, is better than Jim Brown. He's better than Wayne Gretzky. He's better than Willie Mays. He's better than Mickey Mantle. He's better than Babe Ruth. If he drank 107 beers, well, Babe Ruth might have done that too. But if he drank 107 beers in a sitting, in a day, there's enough hours in the day for that. 107 beers. You're only awake for 16 hours a day. I mean, how can you do this? If I bring up my calculator and you are awake, even for 20 hours a day, even if you're awake, if you only sleep for 4 hours, if you are awake 20 hours a day, that's 5.5 beers every hour, every single hour for 20 hours. Ovi, you do you, baby. You do you. On the phones, 855-212-4CBS. Ken is in San Diego. What's going on, Ken?
Hey, how you doing today?
I'm well. How you doing?
Good, good. I just had a couple of quick questions. What if LeBron stayed in the East, went with a team like, let's say, Orlando, who definitely would have cap space, and let him help to assemble a team there because he could still stay in the East and make it to the finals? Regardless of the record, the feat alone by itself is great. Number two, what would you think, since everybody's hating on the Warriors, if the Warriors wound up getting Anthony Davis in a couple of years or even Boogie Cousins this year, would they be hated even that much more? Do you think you could just enjoy the ride like when San Francisco was a dynasty, Miami Dolphins were a dynasty, the Lakers were a dynasty, Chicago possibly could have been a dynasty if Michael hadn't retired for the year or so.
Possibly could have been a dynasty. I mean, the Chicago Bulls were obviously a dynasty with 6 championships in 8 years. Look, here's the difference. Bring up any dynasty you want. Let's start with those San Francisco 49ers of the 80s. They had 2 last-second wins of the Super Bowl. I mean, that championship in 1988 where Joe Montana had to go down the field in the 2-minute drill to beat the Bengals is one of the great drives in Super Bowl history. They were challenged in all of those postseasons. They had the Giants, Washington, Chicago, Minnesota. In the NFC playoffs, there was no easy in for San Francisco through the playoffs or in the Super Bowl. And then they had to battle against the Dallas Cowboys of the 90s. The Miami Dolphins, those were not easy championships. In the 70s, they had to go through the Raiders, the Steelers, a would-be dynasty. The AFC was stacked. The Bulls had the Pistons. The Bulls never swept an NBA Finals. Yeah, Jordan was never swept, but they never swept anybody either because they had legitimate foes. They had to go through the Knicks and the Pacers. The difference is this Warriors team doesn't have an equal. The Showtime Lakers had Larry Bird's Celtics. There is no equal. And so it's boring. There's no drama. They can't be beaten right now. If they got Anthony Davis or Boogie Cousins, yes, they'd be hated even more. Because how much more can you stack the deck? This is why, and I'm sorry, Warriors fans, but it has to be said, when I hear David West or Steph Curry say, this year was so hard, there was so much adversity, you guys have no idea. Yeah, okay, first world problems, man. That's like saying, yeah, we own 4 houses and in 1 the plumbing went out. Great. Live in one of the other 3 for a week. This one was so hard. It was so hard. You played half speed the entire season, didn't care about the number 1 seed, had one of your best players injured for 2 months. You didn't wake up until you were down 3-2 in the West Finals, then blitzed past the Rockets and swept the Finals. This one was so hard, though. No, it wasn't. Thanks to all the good people at TV side of things at CBS Sports Network. Great job, as always, getting this bad boy the simulcast on. Thanks to Tom DiCelestino, the Wheels of Steel executive producing today here on the radio side. I'm DA. Have a great day today. Enjoy the rest of your day, everybody.